الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته الخائلون ولا يحصينا ماءه الآتون ولا يعدي هفه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفتن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نات موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا عجل ممدود فترى الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمتك. اللهم عف سلة سلواتك وسلامة تسليماتك على أفضل التعينات المفازة من العماء وآخر التنزلات المزافة إلى نوع الإنسان. كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء ثاني محسي لعوالم حضرات الخمس في وجوده وكل شيء أحسيناه في إمام مبين الرسول النبي المكي الخرشي التحامي صاحب لواء الحام ومقام المحمود عبد القاسم محمد الحميد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أخيه وابن عمه وسهره وخليفته من بعده وقائد الغر المحجلين يا صب الدين إمام المتقين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى ابنته الظاهرة الحوراء العنسية الراضية المرضية الشفية يوم الجزاء فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى سبتي رحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد وحسن بن علي وحجة الخائم المنتظر المهدي.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
حججك على عبادك وعمنائك في بلادك. اللهم سهل منحجهم وعجل في فرجهم وجعلنا من محبيهم ومواليهم وشيعتهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا لولا أنزل علينا الملائكة أو نرى ربنا لقد استكبروا في أنفسهم وعتوا عتوا كبيرا يوم يرون الملائكة لا بشرى يومئذ للمجرمين ويقولون حجرا محجورا وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه حباء منثورا أصحاب الجنة يومئذ خير مستقرا وأحسن مقيلا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
عجل. I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent and most merciful. It's a great honor for all of us to commemorate the Arba'een of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Although we are few in numbers compared to the numbers that are thronging into the shrine of Imam Hussein today, we wish that we were also among those who Allah had granted the honor of doing the ziyarah on the day of Arba'een. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that honor in the coming years, inshallah.
Inshallah.
The verses that I have made my topic of discussion are talking about those people who who, when they want to disregard the message of the Holy Prophet, when they want to disregard what Islam has to offer, they come up with the excuses that why don't the angels descend upon us? Why don't we see the angels? Why can't we see our Lord? This is what they were saying. And to those who claim such claims, for them to become Muslims, for them to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, Allah is saying, indeed, they are arrogant. And their arrogance is coming from their souls. Indeed, this is their ego that is speaking to them. And this is the ego that is refraining them from coming to the path of righteousness. If you recall the discussion that we are trying to have, my dear brothers and sisters, we are trying to say, what are those things that would stop us from getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I have given a hadith from our third Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One of the main causes due to which we cannot truly achieve the true success is our servitude, not to Allah, but to this dunya. But as long as we are stuck in that phase, in that cocoon, if we are not willing to come out of that, then although we might be practicing Islam in our apparent outlook, in our zahir, but yet we are going to be the slaves of this dunya. For my younger brothers here, let me give them an example. For those who know that a rocket, when the rocket needs to get out of atmosphere into space, it needs to acquire a certain velocity. If the rocket does not acquire certain velocity, which is called escape velocity, what happens? The gravitational force would pull the rocket back and it's going to fall back. So there has to be after, that's why you find rockets having multiple engines, that while they get to a certain point, they drop their one engine because they don't need it anymore and they don't want to carry something that they don't need it anymore. And then they move further. And while they are doing, the thrust that is created by the newer engine has to be strong enough to attain the escape velocity so that they could exit out of the atmosphere. And if that velocity is not attained, the rocket would never leave atmosphere because the atmosphere is attracting and the gravitational force is pulling towards itself. Now let us apply the same example in the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of his dunya acts like a gravitational force. And this is pulling us towards it. And if we do not progress towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that escape velocity, what would happen? We will be pulled back. Although we are going to be flying, but it would not mean we would never ever escape the atmosphere. If we really want to escape the atmosphere, we need to acquire that next level of Iman, that next stage of Iman. In Zahir, in the first phase, we have accepted Islam and we have completely given ourselves and we are committed. But all this we are doing only as a function of our speech. If that is not manifested by our actions and those actions do not acquire the intensity that is required to unplug ourselves from the love of this world, what would happen? We would be there, but we are going to fall back. We would not attain the escape velocity that is needed. And one of the greatest causes is our arrogance, my dear brothers and sisters. What does it cause us to be such that we cannot attain that escape velocity because of our own arrogance. When someone tries to teach you, you say, where is it? Show me. Where can I find it in Quran? You guys only talk about things. You have to prove everything from Quran as if Allah owes them everything. And Allah has to tell everything in minute detail. What do you find? Do you find everything in the Constitution of the United States? Is everything that needs to be done in this country is written in the Constitution of the United States? No, the Constitution talks about general guidelines and principles and ethos and aspirations that this nation wants to acquire or to achieve or to, you know, spread that justice that the founding fathers envisioned. They have written that in the Constitution. Not all the nitty-gritty details would ever be in the Constitution. Just like that, the nitty-gritty details, if you do not find in Quran, and you go searching, and you held yourself accountable, saying, only I'm going to practice this, if I find that in Quran, you're not going to find many, many things. That's why the Sunnah and the Seerah and the path of Ahlul Bayt was made vast open for us because they were living examples through which we can follow Islam. And therefore, if we are not doing that, we would come into the category of those who are arrogant. Those who want to see everything in black and white right in front of them. And if they do not find it, they say, we deny. If we cannot see angels, we deny that angels ever existed. If we do not see electricity passing from a cable, those cables that when we drive, we find all those high tension cables overhead going, do you find electricity passing from there? None of us do, but do we dare touch it? Just merely not seeing it does not mean it does not exist. It is there, and if you touch it, there are about 20,000 volts in there, good enough to kill a person. So they are angels, my dear brothers and sisters. And they are beings of higher realms. But we would be able to see it if we acquire that capability. A lot of us who or in their science classes might have seen, there are so many things that we cannot see with our naked eye. But you take the same thing under a microscope, what happens? Suddenly you are able to see so many things that you have not been seeing because your naked eye does not possess that capability. The moment you acquire that capability, you can start seeing. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that first you deserve to acquire, you first acquire those traits, those qualities, so that I'm going to show you all those things. And if you don't, then obviously you are going to be blind. As Quran says that they are blind and they are deaf and they are dumb. This is how Quran describes those people whose souls have been tainted with qasawat, with hardening. If their souls have been hardened, Quran says, they cannot see, nor they can hear. So we need to acquire and we need to do through reforming our soul. And if we are reforming our soul, I had given you an example of Allama Tabatabai last night, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him what is out there. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now there are other beings who are also asking for. But even before I go there, let me also share with you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved messenger is testifying those who have purified themselves in the life of this world, how Allah honors them and how Allah shows them. This is a riwayah of a young man whose name was Haris ibn Malik, Malik Ansari. He was from Medina, His name was Haris ibn Malik. One day when the Prophet of Allah is passing by and he sees Haris, and the Prophet of Allah greets Haris, or Haris greets the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet of Allah says, "Oh Haris, how are you spending your life? How's life?" The way we say, "How's life? How's it? How are things going with you in life?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, mu'minun haqqa. I am leading my life as a mu'min, as a faithful, on the path of righteousness." Now the Prophet of Allah says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةٌ فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ خَوْلِكَ. For everything, there has to be a reality. What is, when you are making this claim, what is the proof of your claim? How are you making this claim that you are a mu'min who is in the path of righteousness? Haris says, "Ya Rasulullah, azafat nafsi anid dunya, فَأَسْحَرَتْ لَيْلِي وَأَزْمَعَتْ حَوَاجِرِي. O Prophet of Allah, I have ensured that my soul refrains from the love of this dunya, and I have been spending my nights in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my days in fasting and making my whole of my attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent, ka'anni anzuru ila arsh rabbi. To such an extent that now I can see the divine heavens. Waqad wudi'a lil hisab. And I am seeing the account of people being taken in the divine heavens. I'm able to see in the life of this world. And then كَعَنِّي أَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَتَزَاوَرُونَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I am seeing, O Prophet of Allah, the inhabitants of heaven while they are greeting and meeting each other in the life of this world. He is seeing the heaven and the inhabitants of heaven meeting and greeting each other. وَكَعَنِّي أَسْمَعُ أَوَاءَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي النَّارِ. I could see, O Prophet of Allah, and I could hear the cries and the wailing of the inhabitants of the fire of hell. This is how I'm spending my life. I am seeing the accounts, the day of accounting, where accounts are being taken. I can see the inhabitants of heaven meeting each other, and I can hear the cries of the inhabitants of the fire of hell. Now the important part comes from what the Prophet of Allah says. If a person would have just made a claim like this, we could have said, this person is exaggerating. This person is hallucinating. This person is delusional. But look how the Prophet of Allah is affirming what Haris ibn Malik has said. The Prophet of Allah says, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَالِهِ وَسَلَّمُ
اللَّهُ فَسَلَّمُ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
عَبْدٌ نَوَّرَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ أَبْصَرْتَ. The Prophet of Allah says, surely you are a slave of Allah whom Allah has illuminated his soul, and he has a vision through which he can see. Now what does the Prophet of Allah say? The Prophet of Allah says, does not say, "Oh Haris, what are you talking about? We are in this world. Come back to this world. Go about doing your life. Go about doing your job. And whenever heaven comes, it is going to come. We will see then." No. The Prophet of Allah says that indeed Allah has illuminated your soul and has given you that vision. And then the Prophet of Allah says, فَاسْبُتْ. Be steadfast in what you are saying, O Haris. Be steadfast. فَقَالَ. Rasulullah, Udu'u. Now Haris says to the Prophet of Allah, when the Prophet of Allah says, be steadfast in what you are experiencing, O Haris. The Prophet of Allah says, the Haris says to the Prophet of Allah, Udu'u Allah li an yarzukhani ash-shahada ma'ak. O Prophet of Allah, if you are affirming what I am seeing, please pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He honors me with martyrdom, with you, O Prophet of Allah. And then the Prophet of Allah raises his hand and says, Allahumma razuq haritha ash-shahada. O Allah, grant Haris martyrdom. And of course, Haris was martyred being on the side of the Prophet of Allah in one of the battles. My dear brothers and sisters, those of us who are trying to attain that vision, that clarity of hereafter, have to strive in the life of this world. And that has to be intense. It cannot just be a mediocre effort. We all recognize that if you want to excel in any field, you cannot be a mediocre and excel in that field. You have to excel by striving and working very, very hard. Another example, some of those Olympians who get their gold medals in Olympics, ask them when did they start their practice to take part in the Olympics. And they would say that we don't even know when we started, because it was our parents who started that. And their dream and their focus was completely in getting part or taking part in Olympics. And then and only then, with that much of hard work, they actually get to that point. Just doing once in a while Salat, once in a while Namaz, once in a while Dua, and then hoping and deserving Jannah is a delusion upon our own selves. Here Haris ibn Malik has been affirmed by the Prophet of Allah. O Haris, what you are seeing has been, your heart has been illuminated by Allah. But see Haris, Haris is not stopping there. Haris is saying, O Prophet of Allah, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants me martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Haris is trying to strive further and further. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to strive further and further. And Allah has promised us, the Imams, the guides, the Ahlul Bayt, that they had come to us was for us to take us as close as possible towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say that if you look at different prophets and their ummah, you would find that the ummah of Hazrat Isa, the ummah of Hazrat Musa, how far can the ummah of Hazrat Musa go? And they say, only that far that Musa can take. Whatever limit Musa has with Allah, Musa would be able to guide his ummah all the way up to that limit. That is the maximum extent to which the ummah, the nation of Musa, would be able to go. How far Hazrat Isa can take his ummah? Hazrat Isa can take his ummah as far as Isa can go. If Isa could go to certain levels of divine heavens, that far that Hazrat Isa can take his ummah. But how far can our Rasulullah take the ummah? Quran says that the Prophet had ascended on the day of Mi'raj, or in the night of Mi'raj, to such an extent, qaba qawsayn aw adna, as if there was a distance of two bows, or no, even not two bows, even shorter than that. This is how high our Prophet can take. But we have to be willing to go with our Prophet. We have to be willing to go with our Ahlul Bayt. We have to be willing to strive in the path that Ahlul Bayt had shown us. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the signs of mu'min, especially if you read or before you read the Ziyarat of Arba'een, you would find the narration from our 11th Imam, Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In which the Imam is quoting the signs of a mu'min. What are the signs of a mu'min? And the Imam narrates there are five signs. And what are those five signs? That he should be praying 51 rak'ah during each day. 17 rak'ah are the obligatory prayers and the rest are the nafila prayers. That is one sign. The second sign of a mu'min that the Imam quotes is that during the salat, especially on even in those salat where we speak, when we before reciting the surah, he recites Bismillah louder, even where jahr is not being applied. Meaning in Salatul Zuhrain, if you recall, we do not recite Surah Hamd and the other surah that we recite in the first two rakah, we do not recite them loudly, because that is how Salatul Zuhrain is. But even in that salat, reciting Bismillah louder, that is the sign of a mu'min. Then there is another sign, third sign of a mu'min. Third sign of a mu'min is that he wears a ring in his right hand, especially akhir. This is the third sign of a mu'min. What is the fourth sign of a mu'min? The fourth sign of a mu'min is that he does the sajda on turba, on earth, on especially the turba of Imam Hussein that we have here. When we pray on the turba. This is the sign of mu'min. If somebody tells you, no, we are in the modern age, you know, we have carpets. That time probably Muslims did not have carpets, they were very poor, they were in bad shape, therefore they are prostrating on ground. Don't let them deceive you, because the sign of a mu'min is that he prostrates on earth, not on a carpet. Then finally, the fifth sign of a mu'min is that he recites Ziyarat al-Arba'een, or he does the Ziyarah of Imam Hussein on the day of Arba'een. If a mu'min strives to do the Ziyarah of Imam Hussein on the day of Arba'een, that is the sign of mu'min. And there was such an emphasis of Ziyarat of Arba'een that every opportunity you get, that you make the Ziyarah of Imam Hussein. But especially the Ziyarat of Arba'een has a special significance. I would say, my dear brothers and sisters, we were not fortunate enough to be physically there to perform the Ziyarah of Arba'een of Imam Hussein. But this is our difficulty. But the one who is going to reward us, the one who is going to grant us sawab, the one who is going to inspire us, he is unlimited. We are limited. We have to spend thousands of miles, we have to travel thousands of miles to get there. But the one who has said this does not have to travel. And his account of reward is not going to be emptied or reduced by granting us sawab as the sawab of those who actually go there and be granted the same sawab of Ziyarat al-Arba'een. But the condition is that we have ikhlas in our hearts. The condition is we have sincerity of heart when we are reciting the ziyarah. Today we are commemorating the Arba'een of Imam Hussein. I want to recall you, my dear brothers and sisters, how this Arba'een and the Aza of Sayyid al-Shuhada was established, how Ahlul Bayt had to strive hard. We can be sitting in the comfort of our homes or in the comfort of our Islamic centers and commemorating the Arba'een of Imam Hussein. But can you imagine how Ahlul Bayt commemorated the Arba'een, especially the first Arba'een of Imam Hussein? When they were released from the prison and they were given the liberty to either go to Medina or to go to Medina via Karbala, Imam Sajjad and Hazrat Zainab chose to go via Karbala because they have to commemorate the Arba'een of Imam Hussein. And how did they go? Before even going to Karbala, Imam Zainul Abideen and Hazrat Zainab Salamullahi Alayha, especially Hazrat Zainab Salamullahi Alayha, the riwayah and the narrations that have come from heart to heart, they say that Hazrat Zainab had said, "Oh my dear son Sajjad, since my brother was martyred, I did not have the opportunity to cry and mourn for my beloved brother Hussein, and I would like to conduct a majlis right here in Sham, and I would like to invite the women of Sham so they could come and hear from me what had happened to us, what had happened to the family of the Holy Prophet." And for this purpose, Imam Sajjad makes the arrangement, and the house was emptied, and the majlis was established, and the women of Sham and the women of Syria were invited to the majlis, and these women came. And when the women, all of them had come to the majlis, also the heads of Shuhada that were in the custody of Yazid and the Bani Umayyah, they were all returned, and the heads were lying there, and people could see that as the heads were coming, there were women who were coming forward and taking their heads into their laps and crying and mourning for their sons and for their husband. There was a head that came, and it was the head of Hassan, and Umm Farwa takes the head of Qasim, and she starts crying and mourning upon Qasim. And then there is a head that comes, it is the head of Abbas, and Umm Kulsoom comes forward, and she takes the head of Abbas, and she starts crying over the head of Abbas. Finally, the heads come, the head of Imam Hussein also comes, and Zainab comes forward. If Sakina would have been alive, it would have been Sakina who would have come forward to take hold of the head of her father. But Zainab comes forward and takes the head in her lap and says, "Oh my Majai, oh my dear brother, Karbala has passed, Kufa has passed, Sham has passed. Zainab is now returning towards Medina." But when the heads have all come and the women see that Ahlul Bayt are mourning, there were two heads that were left behind. Nobody was mourning for them. And then the women of Sham starts discussing among themselves, "Maybe these are the heads of two children. Maybe their mother has passed away. That's why there is nobody to mourn upon those heads." Zainab says, "No, these are the heads of my children. Oh no, Muhammad. But I would rather mourn on the grandson of the Holy Prophet, upon Imam Hussein. I would not mourn on Aunu Muhammad. I would mourn on Hussein." And the caravan of Ahlul Bayt leaves the majlis, and they pass from the grave of Sakina. And Hazrat Zainab reminds the women of Sham, "Oh women of Sham, this is the Sakina, this is the beloved daughter of Imam Hussein, and I am leaving this daughter behind you." And then Ahlul Bayt moved towards Karbala. You all know, my dear brothers and sisters, that the first zayr who was there in for the ziyarah of Imam Hussein was Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. This was a blind companion of Rasulullah, with whom Rasulullah had sent his salam to our fifth Imam. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari comes to Karbala and he is visiting the shrine of Imam Hussein, and it is Arba'een. But how does Jabir come? The riwayah says that Jabir goes to Furat, the river of Furat, and he makes his ghusl there for the ziyarat of Arba'een. And then he wears a new clothes and applies perfume, and then he comes towards the grave of Imam Hussein, crying and mourning for Sayyidu Shuhada. And the narration says, when Jabir comes and when he comes to the grave of Imam Hussein, he could not withhold himself, and he fell on the ground and he is unconscious. And when he comes out of unconsciousness, what does Jabir say? He says, "Oh my beloved, I'm here, O Hussein, and I'm calling you and you're not responding me." And then finally Imam Hussein responds to Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. But when the Ahlul Bayt arrives, Imam Hussein says to Jabir, "Oh Jabir, my Ahlul Bayt have arrived. Oh Jabir, go and receive my Ahlul Bayt." Jabir leaves the shrine of Imam Hussein and gets closer to the caravan of Imam Hussein's family. Sayyid Sajjad is heading the caravan. Jabir, Sayyid Sajjad sees Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. Sayyid Sajjad could not withhold his tears when he sees the companion of the Holy Prophet. Sayyid Sajjad leaps forward towards Jabir and then starts crying, and Jabir starts hugging and kissing Sayyid Sajjad. But then Sayyid Sajjad says, "Oh Jabir, be careful. My wounds are still new, Jabir. I was chained and I was dragged from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham. And then Zainab and Umme Kulsum and Layla and all Ahlul Bayt Rubab, they all come upon the shrine of Imam Hussein, commemorating the Arba'een of Imam Hussein, only to find that there is no one except Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. Zainab is on the shrine of Imam Hussein, on the grave of Imam Hussein. My dear brothers and sisters, the narration also says that Ahlul Bayt did not come alone. They had brought the holy head of Imam Hussein to be buried along with the body of Imam Hussein. And the holy head of Imam Hussein was also buried on the day of Arba'een. And Zainab is saying, "Oh Majai, oh my dear brother, you had left on Asr-e Ashur, but I withstood and I fought back, and my Ahlul Bayt and the family of Ahlul Bayt fought back until we could fight for your right. Oh Hussein, I was not silent. I did go to the Kufa. I did go to the court of Kufa, but I did fight for your rights there. Oh Hussein, I was taken to Sham. Oh my beloved brother, but what can I say, my beloved brother? I was taken with such a humiliation that I did not have any hijab. The women of Ahlul Bayt did not have any hijab, and the children of Ahlul Bayt were slapped on the way, and they were deprived of food and water. But we made it to Kufa and Sham, and now we are back, O Hussein, only to find on the day of Arba'een there are no Zawwar. But I would say, O Zainab, O Bibi Zainab, O Hazrat Zahra, O Imam Zamana, please accept our condolences on the day of Arba'een of Imam Hussein. Today,
الظالمين وسيد الشهداء سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day of Arba'een that, O Allah, for the sake of Imam Hussein and all the shuhada of Karbala, we ask you, Allah, that honor us the ziyarah of Imam Hussein in our lives and especially in the coming Arba'een. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of Sayyid Sajjad that cure all those in our community who are sick. We ask you, Allah, for the sake of Ahlul Bayt, guide our children to the path of Ahlul Bayt so that they could be steadfast on the path of Ahlul Bayt. We ask you, Allah, to hasten the reappearance of the Imam of our time and make us all the true companions of the Imam of our time. We ask you, Allah, to forgive the sins of those amongst us who have passed away. And if you have forgiven them, then enhance their station so that they could be in the company of Ahlul Bayt. Please recite the Surah Fatiha for the marhumin of all the attendees of today's program. Bismillah.